On this episode of the Reflex Blue Show, we have Command X runner-up Kate White and the author of the freelance book, Steve Gordon.
Or things that we think are dead.
And with that, welcome back, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
What design things are dead now?
Oh, like, man. I was thinking about this. I think it's time for old-timey new designs to be done.
Yeah, they're starting to pick up to where once that person posted the thing on how to make a hipster logo.
Uh-huh. That was the funniest thing ever. Because it was step-by-step. And again, jokes and stereotypes and things like that, they come from someplace, which is why I think they're funny. They might offend a few people, but again, they offend because our skin is so thin, because they're partially true. Like, if you wear black and horn-rimmed glasses, you probably hate every designery joke there is. Because you wear black and horn-rimmed glasses.
And to be fair, we're both wearing berets at this time.
Totally berets. So. Sipping sparkling cider, not so much wine.
Okay. I think the last version of the... When the iPhone, the new iOS came out, everyone was kind of ripping on it right away.
Right,
but the minute it came out...
Right.
Even though no one said, like, oh, it's good or whatever, all of a sudden, like, we had clients where it's like, we want this flat look.
Yeah, flat, flat.
It's like good, because that's what I worked in before. Yeah. I had to force all these gradients in, and I didn't want these shadows.
Can we get rid of that? Yeah, flat was a big buzzword last year. Flat design. Like you said, everyone was like, I don't get it, and Apple's going to this flat design. And then when the iOS did come out, everyone wanted their design to be flat, and... Like, people, that's
just... And we're generalizing, obviously. There's still stuff out there with gradations.
Yeah. But we're like, that's just good design.
But I think the gradations and the shadows and all that took a little bit of a step back this year.
Well, and the funny thing is they're still here. I don't think it went totally flat. I think it was just a matter of... It's kind of like 3D glasses for atmosphere, you know? The design really isn't flat. There's... The initial screen is blurred. Everything comes out at you with dimension. Like you said, they got rid of gradients.
All right, and welcome Kate White, Command X runner up. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, what is the thing we were just talking? What is the thing that you think kind of died this year in the design world? Any trends that you see kind of going away or extinction?
First on the list was old timey new designs.
And second is
hipster logos.
Yeah. Second is things that aren't as flat. The right. Flatness is back in. It's hot.
Right. Flatness.
Which I'm all about, because that's how I would.
That's just good design.
I would have done if I didn't have
it. Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of blurring, and I was going to talk about the flat too. That was the thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, please.
Also,
do.
I kind of. Like, I love it. That's where I kind of gravitate towards, and I worry that it's going to be, like, the trendy next year.
Get ready. It's
back
gonna...
to the big, flashy, full, juicy.
Yeah. I think what you mentioned, the blurring, that's where gradients went away, drop shadows went away, but blurring became the thing.
Line art.
Yeah, line art or that parallax effect of, you know, if it's behind what I'm working on in the flat foreground,
a lot of the parallax stuff came in like that, or whatever its term is, jQuery, that sort of animation. Mm-hmm. I think those sort of fades came in and out because Flash went away.
I mean, you're right.
People want to navigate. They're like, hey, we still want to animate, and you're like,
yeah.
Well, can you do that in Flash? No.
Yeah.
Well, then what can we do?
Yeah.
And I think as technology and the jQuery and stuff gets better, some of the Flash effects might come back in. I think they disappeared just because of necessity.
Well, and it's not just, designers always give each other a hard time, but coders are starting to be in that group too, of the more harshly we scoff at an old piece of software, it dies a horrible death really quickly. I remember when developing for the web, the big thing was put all the images up. Well, what's the term for it? Sprite.
Okay.
The thing was sprites. You know, put all your images up, use one image, it loads, and you're just using, you know, the positioning to
do
that.
Yeah, now they do that with font icons.
Exactly. And so that went away. It was like, oh, you're on sprites? This guy with his sprites. So I think... even as design and creative professionals, we can kill a trend pretty quickly with how quickly we dismiss or scoff a piece of technology or an innovation. I think the flat design went hand in hand with the and I don't want to offend anybody, but it was funny. It went hand in hand with the hipster logo thing, in a way, because everything became hyper minimal, and I think a lot of people got away with bad design by calling it minimal. Oh, didn't do much. Didn't have to do much.
I also think people who don't design minimally don't realize that when there's nothing on the page but a few items, they have to be handled really well.
Really well, because they're the highlight. They're right there in front.
If you don't have the craft, it's actually easier to throw more things on a page. Uh-huh.
So I think minimalism as a trend is probably going to be exposed a bit this coming year. Because, again, with all the... I think there's going to be
an
influx.
I'm going
to
be...
I'm done. Oh, no. Because I think Kate's right. There's going to be an influx, although she doesn't want to be right. But yeah. There's going to be an influx of people coming to the design trends, as usual. You know, a couple of years ago, it was continuous line art. You know, before that, we did have the drop shadows.
And people realized that, like... Other than, like, Felix Sockwell and Von Glitschke, most people aren't real good at that.
No. Not gonna work. Yeah. So yeah, I think there's gonna be a really big influx of the minimal, the hyper-minimal, the flat. Like you said, Apple set the trend with that, with the iOS.
Now, the next trend, I'm wondering what Apple's gonna set, is, like, if you use Safari for your browser, and you go to a website, and you hit, like, a PDF, it says, like, it's blocking PDFs unless you hit trust. Did they kill Flash? Now they're trying to kill PDFs or what?
That's funny.
I guess I haven't noticed.
Maybe you guys don't use Safari.
No, I don't use Safari. I use Firefox.
Yeah, I don't think the other browsers care. But I'm like, I wonder if Apple's trying to...
So you have to trust, is it the source or you have to trust the PDF itself?
You have to trust the website that the PDF's on.
Oh, so they're using security permissions like they would with a site license.
Right, but I just wonder if that's like a subtle way in the upcoming year or two of them saying that we're trying to shut down the PDFs.
Do they have their own format coming?
I don't know.
That would be interesting to see if they had an emulator or some kind of document format that they were trying to introduce. Because PDFs are instantly readable on all
their
devices.
And I'm sure they're saying because PDFs have you can put scripts in them or something.
You know what it is? That's what it is. The loophole for jailbreaking is in PDFs. It's in the reader. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill jailbreaking.
Of the phones?
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know how it's in the PDF, but I've read that.
As far as the default browser on the phone. Yeah, okay.
And so I've read that that's the back door for jailbreaking the phone is through the PDF loop. And so they're probably trying to kill jailbreaking. Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Let's talk about 2014 and what we see the business aspects of this thing going. So 2013 was a weird year around. I don't know if it was everywhere, but I think a lot of people started, the in-house places started hiring again. Kate, you're at an in-house place.
Yeah, her in-house place gobbled up some talent.
Yeah, over at Hay Needle.
Well, we've had some pretty sweet people there.
We've had some Hay Needle people on here in the past. Yep. So, I mean, I've seen like kind of in this area anyway. So it was in-house is kind of stocking up, like, overall.
I think that tends to happen. That's a good sign. I remember the last couple downturns of the economy. The first things to come back were those jobs.
Well, they're also the first to go.
That's true. So I think that's why they're the first to come back. In the cycle, they took the hit first. They deserve to come back first.
Right. So what does that do as you as a single guy? As a freelancer?
I think I've seen a little bit of interest from some corporations, from some in-house departments, even from agencies who like you said, the first thing to go was the low-hanging fruit, the newer designers, the fresh out of school designers, and, you know, just like anything, you know, it works its way up as they start to trim off. As they start needing the help again, the first people that you call if you're trying to hire, it's usually this time of year, students that come out either do or don't have the skill set. You've staffed up with the interns that you are familiar with, and now we just need a pro who can just come in. We don't have to look over their shoulder. I've gotten a few of those calls and emails.
So, like, they hire the people, and then they people are there long enough to where they know what they're good at, what they're not good at.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, okay, now we know what we need.
Yeah, we got to fill in the gaps until the next hiring cycle, which is
right.
May, when the other batch of students are coming out of school, because this is a thin batch. The mid-year graduate.
Oh, see, when I went to school, that was always the heavy batch.
Really?
Because I think that the professors there kind of made it an unofficial 4.5-year degree.
Yeah. So. That leftover batch of classes. That yeah.
So where I was at, they kind of made it that was an unofficial thing.
Yeah.
No one really made it through in 4 or 5.
So I would say the places that have more than 10 people, your legit agencies or corporations with in-house departments have started to, like we said, they've staffed up. They're hiring some really great talent. And then in the interim, they're contracting with some talent to kind of fill in the gaps, holiday season, first of the year, and fill in with the workload that happens during this time. So that's a good sign for the economy, I think.
Okay. What do you think, what do you think is going to be the hot new business policy, or is there any, like, secrets out there you think that...
Man, there's a lot of... along with that, also, you always have the juxtaposed freelancer market, which gets really heavy from the people who didn't get the job or are fresh out of school and having trouble getting hired. That kind of thing, the market gets really thick with. There's quite a bit, at least in our area, I've seen this, there's a lot of 1-, 2-, 3-person studios starting up, so there's more influx of that. For myself, personally... at this point in my career, at any corporation or agency, I would be a creative director. So I've started to change the verbiage on my site and how I tell people what I do, in the fact that at that level, I'm a creative consultant. I can plug into your company, handle your brand, your business, handle your marketing, and help you think the right way. It's not just about artwork for me. I think, and I've seen that with on the coasts a little more than here in the Midwest.
Yeah, everything's a little slower here.
Right.
Implemented in.
Right. Yeah, the lead time is a little longer here.
Yeah.
But I've seen that is where people are going more toward a creative consultant if you're an independent or a freelancer with experience. So it's like the crossroads between I've been in this business for a lot of years and I work for myself. So I don't consider myself a pixel pushing freelancer who's just kind of out here gobbling up as much work.
Well,
as
we just always call you that because you wrote the book on it. I mean, you're always going to be the guy that wrote the
right.
book on freelance.
The guy that wrote the freelance book. No, it's true though.
But the definition of freelance is what you're saying
yeah.
is always a lot wider than
yeah.
people think. Like when a student hears, "Hey, you're going to freelance," they just think I'm just going to go in and do like little design projects,
yeah.
and they don't realize that that's only part of what a freelancer could
right.
do.
Or even for the pros, it's hard for them to make the shift of not so much chasing every little design project and actually setting up your brand to be seen a certain way.
Yeah, if you were in any other field, they would just call you a contractor.
Exactly, and there would be no confusion.
Yeah.
None at all. Yeah.
Either a contractor or a consultant.
Yep, and there would be absolutely no confusion. You'd have a pretty set market, and you'd operate within those bounds, and you wouldn't have to convince people of what you do first. And then get the work, it would just be a matter
no,
of...
No, I think those people still have to do convincing.
I think convincing
I've
on quality.
I've been in-house, and they're like, what do they do? They're a consultant? And I think it's...
Well, see, but
maybe
consultant, but contractor? Like, you don't go to a... I'm thinking more in terms of take it outside of creative.
Okay, right.
If you're a labor contractor, and you pour concrete, nobody goes, so, what do you pour again? Like, what is it you do? No, if you're a contractor, they know
no,
what you
I think,
do.
I think that's more you're thinking because there's a tangible thing that they deliver.
Right,
but
right.
if you're a business contractor,
right.
people still don't know what you do.
That's true. I'll give you that. They
yeah.
don't.
Very
but, true.
And I'm sure that those people think, man, if we just called ourselves freelancers, everyone would understand.
So the contractors want to be freelancers.
Maybe. I think that's a thing that it's going with businesses with freelance. If you're in-house, if you're an agency, is that businesses are looking for what else you can bring and doing more than just the manual labor, the pixel pushing of, like, what can you do holistically to change and separate? I don't...
Yeah, right. I mean,
I think it's getting deeper and deeper than just designing.
I do find the more you can separate yourself, I mean, and the more you can do, the harder it is for them to just quit using you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, but then the strange thing is also, though, it's that same thing, but it's also not just jack of all trades. It's actually, instead of, you know, jack of all trades, it's like a really good jack of a few trades.
Is it David Baker that does all the consulting, does like the how...
I think so.
Yeah, I think I saw him speak at the one a couple of years ago, and he mentioned, like, it's like, figure out how long it'll take for a company to replace you, and if the answer is something like 1 or 2 weeks, like, you're not needed.
Right.
And it's like, if you say, if you figure out it's going to take 3 months, 6 months, a year to replace you, they will keep using you forever.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, the more you can do, or the more you can do that's different, or the more value you bring is always going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen quite a few, especially of friends that I've known that have gotten hired on at in-house departments lately. And it's not that they do 10 things kind of well. They have a cross-reference of 2 or 3 things that they do excellently. And those things work together, which makes them really, really strong candidates.
Well, thank you, Steve. We'll catch you up next year.
You got it.
Kate, you're going to be around a little bit longer, and we're going to talk about this big Command X thing that we hear about.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right, Kate. So we actually spoke to you in Minneapolis. You're on the show on our day 2 podcast from AIGA conference, and you did come in as the runner up, we hear, or something.
Yep, that's correct.
So now that you've had a little bit of time to process it, was it worth doing it?
It was amazing. Like, I keep telling everyone, the further away I get and relaxed I get, the more I can really take in how awesome and amazing it really was. Like, it opened so many more doors, and I've met so many people, and it just kind of is...
Now, what's the requirement? You just have to be young and
Well, yeah, those are two big ones, but you had to have a degree and be under 27.
Now, like a bachelor's degree or just a 2-year degree?
It just had
a degree,
so I don't know if that meant associates or bachelor's. But...
Oh, okay. And you just, they just... Did you have to be an AIGA member?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to be young enough, have a degree, and then somehow you just send them your portfolio. They pick you. Like, how'd you find out?
They sent it out in an email, one of their just like monthly ones that they were having the competition, and a coworker of mine, Chris Kelly, suggested that I do it because I kind of fell into that.
They bury a lot of stuff in those emails.
Yeah, now I read it very carefully every time I get it because I got it too and just kind of skimmed over it.
Like when they put Drew Davies as co-president, it's like buried in like paragraph, is almost like a footnote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to really read them.
Yeah.
I've learned.
And then do they like personally then, did you have to show up early for this thing? Like, when did you fly into Minneapolis or go in?
I drove in the day before and just kind of hung out outside of Minneapolis and then got into our hotel, which was across the street, and kind of paced around the conference a few times until they told us to be there at 3 or whatever it was.
Oh, so like when you showed up, they didn't, you just kind of showed up a couple hours before you went on stage?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh, so yeah, there was no like getting acquainted. There was no kind of running. Did they even tell you like the process? Like, here's your computer, or giving you that stuff before you're on there? Or they just assume you're getting cut, so it didn't matter?
They kind of kept you thinking that way. Like, we were all pretty shocked, I think, to make it to the next round, the group that I was with. They gave us a lot of information through email and everything about where to meet and when, but first time we all met each other, we were walking backstage to get ready to present.
Okay. Okay, and then it was one of these, two of us is getting kicked off the island or whatever.
Yep.
Now, if you would have gotten kicked off, you would have just had a pass to go to the conference.
Yeah. It would have been a very relaxing trip, I'm sure. I was super excited just to go. I told myself if I made it past the first round, I would be just set and done, happy.
And there's only three rounds.
Yeah.
So it's not like one of these real reality shows where it's like a 3-month thing.
Yeah. But my expectation kept growing every time I'd get a little bit further. Like, if I just didn't get kicked off this round, and if I just didn't get kicked off this round.
Right. Until, and then if I won the whole thing.
Yeah, your mind goes that way. But I was just super excited to go.
Have you had any communication with the other guests since then, the other contestants?
Yeah, we're all connected on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And a couple have sent cards, like, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Nice things like that. And a friend called it, like, camp buddies. Like, we all went through something together.
No, I get it. Yeah. So you would have done it again, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But amazing. You can't... They won't let you reapply, right? Or...
I don't know. I didn't see it anywhere.
Okay. I would say next That's, time...
No, you... because I'd be over the age requirement.
Oh, okay.
Because
I'm like, you'd probably just want to call it good anyway.
Yeah. Leave on a high note.
Nothing worse than going back and getting cut in the first round.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you? What so now you're over at Hayneedle as full time. What do you actually do over there now?
I do.
And we were talking the other night. You actually you're like the senior designer over there by seniority or something. Right?
Just by seniority, but not by title.
Yeah, but I mean, but seniority carries more weight than you'd think sometimes. I mean, you've been there the longest. Which isn't that long. I mean, it's a .com company.
No, it's a little over 3 years now, so it's, not that long, but long, I guess, in the 10-year span of the company.
All right, well, we'll be right back when we'll wrap up the show. Which this is our, by the way, this is our season finale, season 6 finale for you guys listening. We'll be back sometime in 2014. I'm not sure when, maybe January, maybe February, maybe March. We got to be back before February because we'll have to do our Super Bowl show. So stay tuned. All right, Kate, now that 2013 is... basically wrapped up. I mean, unless something crazy happens, which we'll just act like won't. Because I think half the design shops, or a good chunk of them, just kind of closed down anyway.
I think it's already kind of January in everyone's head.
Yeah, I mean, we just know we'll be here for most of the holiday week. But we also know we're not going to get a lot of calls.
So
we'll still be working on a lot of the long-term projects and some of the things that we know are going to get done. But... we're not going to expect to get client feedback in the week between Christmas and New Year's, especially with them ending on in the middle of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my days in house, I know a lot of people would just take. They'd be like, "Oh, I already get Tuesday, Wednesday off. I'll just take 3 days off,
Almost
6 days off."
My office are taking the entire week.
Yeah, now you guys are doing retail, so basically, I assume almost everything that if you're a retail designer, then last minute stuff. I mean. Holidays, I mean, probably a crazy month for you, but about now, it's not like
we're getting close to the shipping cutoff, so that's when, like, Christmas is over.
Yeah, and so most of the design work has to be done or approved, so you're even probably getting to the point where they don't even care if you take the week off.
I'm already into New Year's stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, it's what? It's Valentine's and then Arbor Day or something? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever holiday kind of pops up in between. Okay. You can tack a sail onto,
Well, what do you think the big thing for 2014 is going to be?
Oh.
Any wild predictions?
That is a big question.
Is this going to be the year we're finally going to get monitors that are made of, like, paper so they're flexible?
Or is Google
Glass going to just take off and everyone's going to be wearing those?
God, I don't know. I keep seeing the watches everywhere now. The iPhone and the Samsung watch thing. I don't know.
You know what's going to happen. Once
getting
people,
more and more future.
Yeah, I mean, but people are just going to strap their entire Android phone, which basically looks the size of a tablet. They're just going to strap those and wear them as a watch. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm guessing. That's going to be the hot trend.
Yeah.
Okay, or they're going to make chains to hang your iPad around your neck like Flava Flav would.
Or like that superhero that had like the little flip-up thing and would do all that on his forearm. I don't remember which one.
I should know. I do not keep up on... I probably even saw it. I don't know. When I hear that, though, I think of the Predator. Didn't he have stuff that he could do there?
Maybe.
But I think it was
maybe
really
I'm thinking of Captain Planet. Maybe.
Okay, it's either Captain Planet or Predator or... Or both. They might be the same person, actually.
I will do some research.
If you could redesign a superhero, who would it be? I mean, I would say Superman, but he just got a redesign.
Yeah.
For the movie and the comic book in the last year. But by the time I get the job anyway, which, of course, will come my way, I'll be ready for it. Mm. In my redesign, I'll just put him back to, like, Christopher Reeves in 1986.
Oh, that's
with the awkwardly large
question.
Logo on his chest.
Perfectly chiseled chin and little curly Q.
Yeah, you gotta have the curly Q. Mm. Is it Captain Planet? Please let it be something other than Captain Planet.
Oh, no, it's not. I kind of wonder if it would be Wonder Woman. I think she actually has a new movie coming out, though.
It is. I believe it was confirmed she's going to be in the upcoming Superman movie.
Okay.
Along with Batman and Bryan Cranston.
I'm curious what her costume's going to be. I can't imagine that crime fighting's really easy in a... spandex leotard.
They did that TV pilot a couple years ago, and they had her in like some pants and stuff.
Okay.
And but the pilot, I don't think it didn't get picked up, and I don't even know if it got broadcast, so it might have been really bad.
Hmm.
So you're gonna go Wonder Woman, okay?
I think so.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. Hmm. All right. Well, everybody, chime in on who you who needs the new superhero remake. Now, would you rather do a superhero remake for, like, a movie or for, like, a comic? Because you can go more cartoony in the books and, you know, you can still do spandex in comic books.
I think I would do real life, the movie.
Movie stuff,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I think, see, I would.
You do comic book style?
I would do comics because I think you can do a lot more. Because things don't look goofy like, you know, when you put regular people in the costumes as compared to these drawn freaks that...
It could be a live motion movie with people that have costumes that look like comic book drawings.
That's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. That's beyond our ways. All right. Well, Kate, thank you very much. Congratulations again. And hopefully maybe on Command X next time you can somehow be a contestant again and we'll vote you off the island first thing.
Oh, I would love that.
Did the other contestants even know where Omaha was when they said, like, where are you from?
Yeah, I think so.
They just kind of drew a big circle in the middle.
It's somewhere in the middle, yeah.
Somewhere between Chicago and Denver, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Kate, and thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next year. Sometime at least before the Super Bowl. That's all we really know at this point. So, and it may even be the Super Bowl show, which we'll hopefully try to get Tom Nemitz back to a host. So thank you all.
Thanks for listening to the Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luders.